I hope you're doing well on this Friday morning, March 27th. I had a great birthday yesterday. If you're on Facebook, I'm sure you saw that. My wonderful wife just made deliciousness all day long and homemade apple fritters in the morning, and Julia Child's beef bourguignon recipe for dinner, and her mom's chocolate pound cake for dessert. Oh, I was so stuffed, and my kids made me nice homemade cards, and even though we couldn't go anywhere or have anybody over, it was still a wonderful birthday. 46 years old now, not a young man anymore in any sense of the word, but, you know, on the downward slope to 50, here it comes, before we know it. So, we are together again in the Psalms, and today we're looking at Psalm 4, which is another wonderful psalm about how God keeps His own, about how God is our refuge, about how we need to handle things when we're feeling agitated or angry. That's also going to come up in Psalm 4. How do we respond when we're feeling agitated or angry, which some of us might be? So all of this and more is in Psalm 4, and so let's go ahead and read the whole psalm, and then we will break it down. We'll read the psalm and pray, and then we'll break it down. Psalm 4 is written to the choir master with stringed instruments, and it's a psalm of David. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. That's Psalm 4. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for being our God, for being faithful and true, for never leaving us, for never abandoning us, for being the God of our righteousness, and being the God who keeps us in your care every day. Father, we pray that you'd be with us this morning as we take a look at Psalm 4 together. Lead us by your Spirit into your truth for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, Psalm 4. Let's just walk through it section by section. There's an opening verse and there's a closing verse. And in between those opening and closing verses, there's four pairs of verses, I think. So here's Psalm 4, verse 1. First of all, we saw the title, To the Choir Master. I think it's interesting, whenever you see To the Choir Master, you can know that sort of David, when he sat down to write this, he was intentionally writing it with a view to the people of God, with a view to blessing others. And here he's been through some difficult distress, right? He's been through some hard things. And yet, he is determined that he is going to redeem the suffering, right, by using it for the glory of God and for the blessing of God's people. That should always be our twin outlook whenever we're going through anything, is sort of, how can this resound to the glory of God, and how can it be a blessing to God's people? He begins with a cry to God, answer me when I call, and then he calls God by this title, O God of my righteousness. O God of my righteousness. God is the source of all of our righteousness. God is our righteousness, and God is the one who makes us right. To be righteous in this way means to be accepted by God. It means to be pleasing in God's sight. It means to be upright and just before God. And God is the one who gives us this righteousness, but as a gift, he gives us even his own righteousness as a gift. You have given me relief when I was in distress. So he's looking back at God's faithfulness in the past that gives him hope in the present. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. That's a good exercise to do whenever we're distressed, whenever we're upset or anxious or nervous or scared. We can look back at God's past faithfulness and remember the times when he's given us relief, when we've been in distress in the past, and know that the same God who has given us relief in the past is the God who now will be gracious to us and hear our prayers. Notice there's two things he's asking of God. Be gracious to me, that is, be kind to me. Treat me with kindness, not as my sins deserve, but according to your good character, and hear my prayer. Then he turns his attention from God to other people. People who were mocking him, people who were teasing him, people who were slandering him, right? O men, how long shall my honor be turned to shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? And when I read this in the light of this whole COVID-19 thing, I think about people who are online and using COVID-19, the coronavirus, as an opportunity to slander God and to mock God's people. Some of them are doing it online, some of them might be doing it in person. But this idea that you take any tragedy, any terrible thing that happens, any time of distress, and you would use it to mock God and to tease or mock his people just shows the dark and twisted heart of sinful man. So David's response to this is confidence that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. If you are a child of God, then this is talking about you. You're godly. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, this is talking about you. You are the godly, and you should know that you are godly because God has set you apart for himself. God has sanctified you. That's what it means to be sanctified, is to be set apart by God for himself. That's a great privilege. I mean, you think about that. The God of the universe, the God who spoke the world into being, the God who sustains everyone and everything, has looked at you and has said, this one I want for myself. So that's why you're godly. And of course, if God has set you apart for himself, then we can have confidence that God will hear us when we call to him. The God who set us apart for himself, the God who sanctified us, is the God who sustains us and the God who hears us when we pray to him. But then for the godly and for himself, David has some advice. He's preaching to himself, and by writing this to the choir master, he's preaching this to all of God's people. He says, be angry and do not sin. How many of you, if you're honest enough, would say that some point in this past week, as you've been doing this COVID-19 quarantine, you've gotten angry? I have. At times I've gotten irritated with my children because they're not going to school and they're home all day and I'm trying to work, and sometimes they're fighting with each other over the silliest little things. Sometimes I've gotten angry with myself because I just can't stay focused the way that I would like to. I just get, this word angry, by the way, really means agitated, stirred up in your spirit. So sometimes I've gotten angry with myself because I have things I want to do it's hard to be focused sometimes when I'm just home and all the regular routines are gone, and it's just, sometimes I've gotten agitated with the government. Can I be honest about it? Like shutting everything down. Sometimes I've been like, why are we doing this? Okay. I know that's probably not the right way to respond to that, but I'll be honest. I'm willing to be honest here and say that I've been agitated about that at times. And so what do we do when we're angry? What do we do when we're agitated? Well, don't sin. Okay. That's the easy thing to do. The easy thing to do is to allow our anger and our agitation to lead us into sin. But what should we do instead? Well, he says, ponder in your hearts on your beds and be silent. Sometimes the best thing for us to do is just be quiet, just get alone with God, and think. Don't act in the impulse of the moment out of anger, but get alone, get quiet, and think. And then it says, offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. Now, we know as believers, we no longer offer blood sacrifices in the New Testament. So what's a right sacrifice? Well, our lives are a living sacrifice. We are God's. He set us apart for himself. We belong to him. And our praise and thanksgiving is a sacrifice. So we need to remember we belong to God. He has set us apart for himself. So we offer ourselves to him afresh and we praise him and we thank him. Thank him for more time with your children. Thank him for more time to be quiet and still. And put your trust in the Lord. Trust God. Then he turns his attention back to God in prayer. It's interesting how the Psalms do this a lot. They'll sort of think about something, and then they'll turn their attention back to God. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Where's the good in all this? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. This is an expression that says, God, if you will bless us, if you will regard us with favor, then we will be blessed. And we will have all that we need. So it's a looking to God for what we need, and it's a confession that if God will look upon us with favor, we will have all that we need. And then he says this, you have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. The greatest blessings and prosperity that we could have in the world, like yesterday I was just blessed with an abundance of good food, and good family time. But all that is nothing compared to the joy that God can put in our hearts. God can put his joy in our hearts in a way that doesn't have a ready earthly explanation, right? The peace that surpasses understanding, the joy that is greater than our circumstances, comes from God and God alone. And then finally, verse 8. I love this. Love this close to Psalm 4. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep, because you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. We can lay our heads on our pillows at night, and we can sleep. We don't need to be anxious, we don't need to be agitated, we don't need to be worried. Why? Because God alone makes us dwell in safety. Now, some people will take this as a promise, an absolute promise, that if you're a Christian, you're not going to get COVID-19. That is not what this verse is saying. God keeps his own eternally secure in the love of God. So even if I lie down and sleep and I don't wake again in this world, I will wake face to face with Jesus. I will wake in the presence of God for eternity. I dwell in a safety that nothing in this world can touch. I dwell in a safety that is eternally secure. Not just temporally secure, but eternally secure. And that's our hope, right? All right, let's seek the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that you have set us apart for yourself. Who are we that you should choose us to be your own? But that's what you've done. And you not only set us apart for yourself, but you hear us when we cry out to you, and you keep us safe in your love. This should bring us a joy that nothing in this world could ever bring us, and that nothing in this world could ever shake. Knowing that we belong to you, that you hear us when we cry out to you, and that we are safe and secure in your hands. Father, today, when we get agitated, when we get stirred up in our spirits, Father, would you give us the grace to be still, to be quiet, to think, to seek you, and then to offer you right sacrifices, our lives, our thanksgiving and praise. Because, Father, you are good always. We may be disrupted and agitated, but you are always the God of peace who is always good. Father, we do pray for those who are serving us, serving our community at this time. We pray for our healthcare workers who are out there on the front lines. We pray, Father, that you would keep them safe. We pray that you would protect them. We pray that you would strengthen and sustain them as they're working long hours, as they are away from their loved ones. Father, we pray that as more respiratory therapists need to be trained for how to use ventilators, that those trainings would go forward and that people would become proficient in how to use ventilators. We pray for the production of more ventilators. We pray that you'd get them to the hospitals where they are most needed. It seems to be most critical in New York City right now, Father, so we pray for a relief there. Father, we pray for those who are serving us in other ways. We think of the grocery store workers and the pharmacy workers, those who are working in restaurants, serving through carryout and delivery. And Father, we know they're working hard, and we know that they're risking exposure, but we thank you for them, and we thank you for their willingness to serve the rest of us. Father, we pray for pastors who are seeking to shepherd their flocks and are seeking to be a blessing to the sheep under their care during this time. We pray that you would strengthen and sustain them and that you would use them for your glory. And we pray for our government leaders, Father. We pray that you would be with them and give them wisdom. Help them to make good decisions, wise decisions that are not out of fear or panic or anxiety, but based on truth and fact and reality. And then help the rest of us to be submissive to our government leaders and cooperative in helping to stop the spread of this virus. Father, be with us today. Be with our missionaries who are in vulnerable places. We do think of Jacob and Carol Lee in northern Uganda and Jean-Paul in Haiti, as they are in places with very weak healthcare systems, very sporadic testing capabilities, very unpredictable healthcare access. We pray that you would watch over them and keep them. And we pray that you would bring peace to your people in these countries as they trust in you. We also pray that you would bring resources and good care to the people. Father, thank you for this day. Help us to live for you in this day. Help us to always love you and always be thankful to you, for you are always good and you always love us. We thank you, Father, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, amen. Thank you so much for joining me again. I hope this was a blessing and an encouragement to you, and I hope you have a wonderful day.